everyone, welcome to myself, Max McGillivray of Beanstalk. If you're not aware of Beanstalk, Beanstalk is an initiative that we created to support, educate and promote the international fresh produce sectors to help them thrive and grow faster. We've run over 50 webinars and broadcast internationally from early 2020 with key experts from the fresh produce sectors to great acclaim. We're very, very proud to set up this broadcast series with the PMA in South Africa and Leanne Jones and her team. Leanne, say hello to everyone.
Hi, Ben.
We're currently live via Zoom, onto LinkedIn and to Facebook. And we're also going to set this up as a record for those of you who want to see us if you can't watch it live. And it's also going out on our podcast series. So the purpose of this particular broadcast is, I'll just be very honest with you, I've got a complete bias towards South Africa and South African fresh produce. Some of the most amazing people I've met in my travels are from South Africa. So Leanne and I started this conversation about how could we promote South Africa, South African fresh produce in a unique format, especially with all the restrictions that we've got on the go currently. So let me just give a bit of an understanding, Leanne, if it's okay for everyone, about the PMA. The PMA is internationally recognised, but Leanne, if it's okay, there might be some students, especially from the likes of the UK and Europe, who are not fully aware. So I just want to brief them on the PMA. So the PMA is an international trade organization bringing together the global and floral community to grow a healthier world. With over 2,700 member companies, they've got 36,000 members across six continents. And the PMA provides connections, develops content, and delivers industry solutions to enhance members' prosperity. So each month with this broadcast, what we're looking to do is we're going to focus on an area of South African fresh produce. And we're going to learn about the various produce seasons, talking with leading experts, growers and exporters to uncover all facets of South African fresh produce. And again, I just, Leanne, if it's okay, I just really want to major on this, that we want to give the insight for the global trade into the South African fresh produce industry's intricacies and hopefully inspire the buyer and the consumer to buy and enjoy more beautiful South African fresh produce. So Leanne, you and I, how long have we known each other, please?
Oh, goodness, Max. I don't think we should give an exact number, but I might even say 20 years.
Okay, so this will make you tickle. When we were setting this up, I'm very privileged that a number of my team have been with me for a number of years. And when we were setting this up and they saw your name coming across various emails, they said, "Is that Leanne, the movie star?" I said, "Well, what do you mean by that?" Because when we were very privileged to first meet Leanne all those years ago, she appeared in our car park at our office in England in this beautiful white convertible MG in the middle of our summer. And one of the team, when they saw Leanne coming in this car, said, "She looks like a movie star." So Leanne, that expression has always stuck with us all the way through when we've had dealings with yourself. And I think South Africa and the PMA are very lucky to have someone like yourself being an industry expert. And we know that you and your team do such a good job, my English expression, bossing South African fresh produce, and hence why we've created this broadcast. So Leah, just tell us a little bit more about the PMA in South Africa, please.
Okay, so the PMA in South Africa, we look after about 100 members in South Africa. And our members are really across the full value chain in the fresh produce industry. So we have a lot of exporters and growers, but solution and business service providers, as well as retailers in our portfolio. And really the PMA is there to support our members in South Africa. We look to connect them with our members globally and with other business opportunities globally to help them flourish and enhance their business. And also a lot of thought leadership so that they can pivot and grow their business to be successful. So that's a lot of the sort of activities that we do. And we've got some interesting plans coming up for the year across all different parameters such as sustainability, supply chain, business connections, thought leadership in terms of market trends. So a full package, as well as our Beanstalk series with you, Max.
Thank you very much. And I have to ask, how have you, the PMA in South Africa and your members, how have you found the last year as we've gone through this global world pandemic?
So I think we're in an industry that has being one of the few industries in South Africa that has showed exceptional growth in 2020. In South Africa, it was one of the only industries that was sitting at a positive 6 to 10% growth. And we would discuss part of the reasons for that in our deep dive into the produce markets and the role they play. I think our industry is very export orientated, and our producers are finding a very new way to do business and a different way to do business. So I think there's a lot of learning on how to connect with your international supply chain in new and different ways. But it's been, I would say, a good year, and I think very good year for businesses to learn to pivot and to survive and to be stronger for 2021.
Well done. I was very privileged to be able to see a report from Justin Chadwick from the Citrus Growers Association as to sort of a summary report for 2020. And I think what South African Fresh Produce has done per se has been amazing. And where I'm very excited for fresh produce per se, and we're already seeing this within the likes of the UK, because people can't go out to restaurants, because people are cooking more at home, because people want to be fitter to combat a world pandemic, they're looking to eat better. And Leanne, how do people eat better? They eat more fresh produce.
Absolutely.
and they eat more gorgeous South African fresh produce. So I'm going to put words in your mouth. Is the future for South African fresh produce positive?
Absolutely. I mean, we've got incredible growth in our kiwi fruit industry, in our berry industry, in our citrus industry. Those industries are really booming for us, local demand and international demand. And I would say that, a lot of our industry and our companies within our industry are very positive about, this trend of consuming more fresh produce and leading a healthier lifestyle globally.
Again, and presumably it's not without its issues. A colleague of mine has just WhatsApped me, just if it's okay to ask, because our media is slightly biased towards just focusing on within the UK and Europe. What is the situation within South Africa with COVID and the pandemic? Is it actually going to affect a production of fresh produce? Do you see any speed bumps that you've all got to get round in the next year, 18 months?
No, I think, a lot of those speed bumps took place last year. And I think our industry were incredibly fast and flexible and to make a plan. So we have a saying in South Africa, a boer maak 'n plan. So the English translation is, well, it's a bit of a hybrid there, but the farmer makes a plan. And South Africans really are a people that make a plan and find a solution. So I don't foresee huge speed bumps in the road. I think our industry has found solutions to that. And I think the culture of who we are, if we do have a speed bump, we'll find a way to get over it and through it and make a plan.
Fantastic. Well done. I'm so looking forward to doing this monthly broadcast series, Leanne, with you and your team, so that we can further investigate and explore and learn about amazing South African fresh produce. But Leanne, shall we get on with this and get our three wholesale experts? Gentlemen, can you all come in, please? I love this bit, Leanne. It's always a race to see who's last, because we always tell them off.
There we go.
well done. So gentlemen, what if it's okay to ask of you, could you just give your name and your company initially, and then after you've done that, I'm going to come round to you individually. So Jaco, let's start with you, please. Who are you, please?
Jaco Westhuizen, and I'm fortunate enough to be the CEO of the RSA Group.
Fantastic. And just remove your spotlight because my fingers are quick enough. Francois, please.
Good afternoon, Max. My name is Francois Niles. I'm proudly the Registrar of the Agricultural Produce Agents Council.
Excellent. And lastly, but not least, Justy, please.
Hello, Max, and welcome to the viewers. My name is Justy, and I'm doing business development for Freshmark Systems.
Excellent. Thank you, Justy. We were just in our green room earlier and comparing notes, and I think on the basis that Jaco, you've got the finest weather where you are. We're going to start with you, if that's okay. So Jaco, what is the weather like with yourself in Stellenbosch? I bet it's rainy. I bet you got snow. I bet you got locusts. What's happening there, please?
It's absolutely glorious. It's sunny, blue skies, and it's actually a little bit. We should be outside.
Excellent. Well, would you like to do a role swap with me and come to 2 degrees in the UK? Would that interest you?
No, thank you.
I'll take that as a yes. So please tell us about the RSA group, and just to say, if you're not already following them on social media, that the social media is fantastic. You've got such an eclectic mix of people, and I love the deep dive that you go into within the wholesale markets, and I love the fact that you really love and cherish all of your colleagues. There's so much in your social media feeds about people, but enough. You tell us about your business, please.
Yeah, the RSA Group is a business that trades in fresh produce. We are horizontally integrated across all three channels in the main fresh produce markets, export and into retail. And we represent the growers' produce in all of those three channels. And we're fortunate enough for the business to have a really strong footprint across South Africa. And that we have a range of international clients that we serve on behalf of our producers. And the businesses have been in business for a while. We're fortunate to have three businesses in the group that's over 100 years old. And all of them, or most of them, started as family businesses. But now we call ourselves a business of families. And we're very fortunate to be in fresh produce.
And what's your thoughts for the business? Have you reached where you want to go? Have you reached a plateau? Or when we're speaking to you ongoing over the next 3-5 years, are you looking to further expand your footprint within South Africa and internationally?
Certainly, Max. We're fortunate enough. We sort of at the doorstep of Africa. So I believe our market is exponentially going to expand in Africa. You know, we're sitting potentially on consumers in Southern Africa. That's close to 350 million consumers. And as being a gateway to Africa, we are going to make our presence felt in Africa. We already have a lot of African buyers crossing our borders into our fresh produce markets, also exporting to them via the traditional channels. And we do see that our model is suitable to cross borders. So we're very excited about the future in fresh produce.
Because that's one thing I learned in my travels in South Africa 3-4 years ago. I didn't realize that the 10 fastest growing cities in the world are all in Africa. So actually, I suppose it makes sense to, if you can look at export markets with the supply chain that you got set up, but also if you can sell in country, Africa as a whole, you've surely got a fantastic, as we said in the UK, a double whammy that you can do exports and also into Africa as well.
Yeah, it certainly is. And then I also think we understand the market, and we know that it's dealing with businesses in Africa has got its challenges, but I do think we've got the expertise and the ability to produce fresh produce that will satisfy that demand, and our sales skills then come into the fore in being able to penetrate those markets.
Yep. And biggest growth area for you, product wise, fresh produce wise.
Max, obviously citrus is a big growth area in South Africa. Avocados is strong. All the superfood groups is well represented in South Africa. We have the ability to be self-sufficient and produce mostly for export markets. So there's no real blockage in terms of what we can produce.
Yeah, which again, as we were saying with Leanne, this is the exciting bit for South Africa as people look to consume more and more amazing South African fresh produce because if they want to be healthy, you're all going to be in a good spot. And Yeka, just to finish off our little chat, if I could wave a magic wand, who through this broadcast format would you like to get in contact with in the way of be new customers or even new growers? Who would you like to have contacting you direct, please?
Well, for us, it would be people that would come to market or to come to our wholesale markets or fresh produce markets, and also international clients that we can connect with our producer base. And those would be that'll be exciting for us.
Fantastic. So everyone, as I say, if you we'll put it on the feeds later on, but have a look at the RSA group on social media. Yaka, thank you. Francois, over to yourself. How is the weather with you? Because we've got a better Yaka, because he's just showing off, I think, over there in Stellenbosch. How's the weather with you, please?
Max, thank you. With reference to Yaku, it's exactly the opposite. It feels like I'm in the UK today. We've got rain, it's a little cold, so yeah, that's what's happening around me today.
Okay, but you're very pleased to have the rain, are you not? Because there's always been a perennial problem within South Africa about water. So what Francis, what have I always been taught about South Africa and farming? The three most important things: water, soil, people, not necessarily in that order. So presumably South Africa as a whole is glad to have this large amount of inbound water from the sky.
Absolutely. We are so thankful. Large parts of South Africa is very dry. So every little drop of rain is tremendous, and we take that any day.
Fantastic. And can you tell us who you are and who you represent?
As I said, I'm the registrar, so I'm a regulator, regulating agents in South Africa in agriculture. I'm a statutory body, call it a creature of statute, if you like. And locally, I'm known as the watchdog. So I have to look after the guys and the agents, and I simply do that to protect the interest of the farmer. And not only the farmer, I also have to look after the agents and enhance the industry and see how we can do so much better for them. APAC serves three areas in our industry, the first being fresh produce agents, and that's predominantly the fresh produce markets. Then we look after export agents. And lastly, we look after livestock agents. Interesting enough, the value of these industries collectively equate to about 130 South African billion rand. So wow. It's quite a mammoth task that we are fulfilling.
And APAC, how long has APAC been in existence, please?
APAC started in 1993. APAC, as I said, I get my mandate from a specific piece of legislation, and that is the Agricultural Produce Agents Act. That was published and promulgated in 1992. And so we've been around the last 28, 29 years.
And does is APAC actually required? Or if you remove the administration of APAC, would it cause issues? Is APAC actually required within South Africa?
APAC is required in South Africa, and I think we take this a step further. We don't only see us as a body that was created as a bureaucracy, but rather as an essential service to serve the industry and the industry at large. We've got a very, very specific and defined role. We're pretty lean and mean, so we work very focused to serve the industry through protection. I've got a legislative framework, which I use as my framework of reference, but I also call that an ethical framework. So ethics is really important in our industry. That's what we promote.
Okay, and retailers, do you also look after retailers on behalf of growers in the industry sectors that you mentioned?
No, we don't. We only focus on agents in South Africa.
Okay, because it's within the UK, there's sort of a comparison that within the retail sector 4 or 5 years ago, there's a lot of concern about the way that retailers were treating suppliers. So the UK government brought in a grocery code adjudicator, and a very professional lady called Christine Taken came in, and she sounds in some ways, if it's okay to compare you, very similar to yourself, Francois, because she didn't want to come in as the police woman and to start hitting supermarket buyers over the head. She wanted to work in union with the suppliers and the retailers to make sure that there was an ongoing solution. that work for both. And Francois, I presume that's the same with yourself and your agents, that you want, what's the expression, jaw-jaw, not war-war. You want that communication to happen so that everyone knows where they are. And if there was, God forbid, any issues, you can step in. But as a whole, because of your team and your professionalism, that doesn't happen because you're there. Would that be correct?
That's absolutely correct. You must understand that we prefer making love, not war. But you get to a point sometimes where you have to be very specific and consistent in the way that you apply legislation and pieces of legislation that protect the industry. So, as much as we serve the industry and as much as I love this industry, we need to be grumpy at times. We do that, and we do that with proper guidance from the industry. I basically work for the industry to protect them from themselves. So we do this with great passion. We look after this beautiful industry in South Africa, and we've got a unique system in South Africa. I'm sure either Yaku or Justy will talk some to the commission system that we use. We are, as custodian, protecting these aspects 100% to our ability.
Well done. And Francois, I'm sure you've already identified that the likes of Yaku and I, we're salesmen. So we're very good at selling things. And so I asked Yaku about his view about where South African fresh produce is going. And so what is your view as a custodian of the fresh produce sector? Are you positive about the growth of South African fresh produce, or do you have another view? What's your view of where South African fresh produce is going over the next 3-5 years, please?
Well, let me start off by saying, if you want to work in this industry and probably survive in this industry, you have to love this industry and the people. I certainly do. The one thing that COVID-19 has taught us is that the new has now become the new normal.
Yeah.
We must embrace that. There's this wonderful saying that says, if pain exceeds joy, things will change. And we've certainly seen that as an essential service in the in agriculture or agriculture at large. We saw wonderful initiatives coming from agents, coming from industry, coming from agricultural all over. And that fills me with so much hope, so much passion going forward. Looking at my two colleagues here today, what a wonderful way to engage the future. We don't know what's going to happen, but I can tell you, we're taking this challenge full on.
Well, Leanne, they're pretty impressive men, aren't they? I feel a bit humbled being here. Francois, we found out that you are definitely a lover, not a fighter, and you're a custodian of South African fresh produce, which is amazing. Amazing. Thank you. Justy, Dr. Justy Range, over to yourself, please. Who are you?
Max, yes. I'm Justy. I work for Freshmark Systems, doing business development. I've been blessed to be in this industry. I grew up on a farm just outside Galtonville, where we farmed with maize, cattle, and beans. I firsthand experienced the Joburg market when I was very small. Driving into the market with my uncles to go and deliver product there. And what Francois did not mention is, apart from the fact that it's about community, once you're in this industry, you never leave it. It's just part of you. And that just led to me being part of it in different capacities. But I formally got involved with the market in the mid-90s. On the Joburg fresh produce market, and that just led me to where I am today, working for Freshmark Systems. Freshmark Systems, for those who don't know, not to be confused with Freshmark Checkers. Freshmark, the only relationship between the two is that both were registered 1 month from the both names, trademarks were registered a month apart, and both were funnily enough, founding members, I think, of FPMA in the 90s, okay. when the PMA started in South Africa. So Freshmark Systems, long and rich history, started in 87 as a computing, long before the internet. They started computerizing the market. I think East London market was the first one. And built on that over a period of 15 years, they managed to computerize the markets, became an absolute foundation of the success of the fresh produce industry in South Africa, and is part of the fiber of it. Both, there's still the same people running it. So with years of experience, a very rich history, that's Freshmark Systems. And that's what I do currently. I look at problems and looking at innovative ways of solving problems.
And Justy, thank you. And you very kindly emailed me before this broadcast the comparative figures of turnover and mass of the 17 fresh produce markets. Justy, oh my crikey. I had to look at the metric ton figure for all of the markets within South Africa, which is just shy of 3 million tons per annum. So just help me in that respect with the difference between UK and Europe and South Africa. Within the likes of UK, I always forget the number, but it's about 75-78% of all fresh produce is sold in the retail sector. Would you know roughly what the comparison is within South Africa? I presume it's more skewed towards the wholesale sectors rather than retail. Would that be correct?
And it's an important question because you can't compare a first world country or a developed country like an America or a Europe with the South African context. We've got a very unique, and we'll get to unique a bit later, very unique setup in South Africa where we've got, first of all, to understand is that we've got a very diverse marketing channel. So a grower standing on his farm has got options. He can sell obviously through the fresh produce markets. He can sell, he can export, he can sell direct to value addition, to juice sector, etc. He can then obviously have a retail program. And within that, the fresh produce markets play a very specific role in these short-term marketing decisions. Now that figure of 3 million odd tons, the jury is out because the markets are very transparent in South Africa because we've got the figures. And that's a long history why that transparency has been forced down onto the sector. So we've got basically by the ton can tell you what the markets do. We unfortunately don't have that same transparency moving away from the markets. But estimates are, and look, it started, and this might be interesting to you. We started also the discussion of what portion or what channels are important. In the 90s, when APAC started, that Francois alluded to in 1993, that was really a watershed period with deregulation coming in. And what that meant was over the next 10 years, it saw the growth of the retail sector, the distribution center model that you know more, that you would refer to as your retail. But it also saw the growth of the export market. But the fresh produce municipal market channel was by far the dominant channel in South Africa, selling fresh produce into the communities. That led to, fortunately for growers, led to a diversified marketing channel option when they sell products. So in South Africa, because we've got the fresh produce channel, you typically find that growers play the field. They're very dynamic, they're very short term. There's very few growers that will give you, unless they plant for programs, et cetera, like that, there are very few growers that will give you a price beyond 2 weeks because of the dynamics of and the highly competitive nature of our industry.
Justy, well done. So let's get into this. Anyone out there, if you've got any questions for any of our experts, including Leanne, you know how Zoom works. There's a question bar at the bottom. Yako, straight over to you. Who would you rather serve, the wholesale sector or your export market?
Max, we decided as a business that we want to be in all three channels. So yep. We position ourselves strongly on the fresh produce markets, and we developed early on in our business a model where we expanded our footprint to the larger sectors or to the larger centers in South Africa. So Joburg, Pretoria, Cape Town, Durban, Bloemfontein, and Springs. And then also from a retail perspective, we set a business up that deals directly with retail on behalf of the farmers, and we also trade those transactions on a trading platform. So it's a transparent process between grower and retail. And then on the export side, we believe that's most probably going to be the biggest growth area over time for our business. And it's also because I think South Africa is logistically ideally situated in the export space.
And Jaco, if I was to go to my local retailer in the UK, which is Sainsbury's, and buy citrus, I've got two boys who can't get enough of South African citrus. The quality of citrus is normally grade A, second to none, amazing. If I went to the Joburg wholesale market to buy South African citrus, would it be the same quality as the quality that I'm buying in the UK?
Max, I would like to say yes. Producers have learned that the local market is a strong buying power. It has a strong buying power, and that they have to make sure that they market a good spread of quality product. But from an export perspective, you'll find the best quality moving across border. But we have an extremely strong and competitive local market setup. So your retailers take a high quality, and then we have a lot of independent retailers still in South Africa that buys the best quality of produce. And at certain times there would be price parity. So you would have an export price parity on the local market that compares with what the producer could get on the export market. So it's extremely competitive, and that's why I think the South African grower is in a very good position and can compete globally because of the strength of the local market.
I apologize for asking such a nasty question, because the fundamentals of it are daft, because when my kids open up the citrus inside is the same as the citrus from the Joburg wholesale sector. But that opens up a huge debate about retailers and the power that retailers have in the UK and Europe, and the lack of margin return that they're giving to the likes of yourself in comparison to branded products, whether it be rubbishy energy drinks or packets of crisps that don't do anyone any good. I remember posting up about a year ago that in our retail store in the UK, Asda, you could buy half a dozen bananas for 80p from Ecuador, and contacts in Ecuador were telling me that it's actually more expensive to buy those bananas in Ecuador. And just how ridiculous that is all gone. But as I said, it's a conversation for another time. But something that we want to see change is that the not the standard levels, but just the quality levels, because citrus is citrus, bananas are bananas, top fruit is top fruit. The consumer should never have gone down this path of having to consume beautiful looking fruit, because there's nothing wrong with fruit if it's got a blemish on. But we know all of this. Francois, just coming back.
Max, that's the beauty of our fresh produce markets, that you deal with producer brands directly. So it keeps everybody in the chain honest and exposes the producer brand directly to buyers and consumers. And that's the power of our local fresh produce markets.
Okay. And Jaco, would you like to see more margin return from your international customers?
Always, that's true. But you know, the market will dictate, and I don't think that any business or anybody is bigger than what the market forces are out there. It will ultimately dictate the prices.
Yeah, stop loading the boats at Durban. See what happens. But you know, just joking. Francois, the wholesale markets, are they viable within South Africa? Because South Africa is changing, and you may become like Asia has got very westernized and is eating more meat and is doing a lot more through retail. And we won't even start the online debate. Do you think the dynamics of the wholesale sectors within South Africa are going to change to the point where these amazing numbers that Justy very kindly presented will actually diminish, because the consumer is buying them direct from the retail? Is there a viable future for the wholesale markets in the long term?
Max answers absolutely. If we look at the history, markets came into existence around about 1900s, and around about 1940, we had 134 markets across South Africa. They were all town-based, small little markets. In 1967, they turned into markets of national interest. And so they, this was due to people moving to large cities. And eventually we ended up with these big markets that served specific regional areas. So since then, we've seen private markets coming into existence. And the bottom line here is markets serve a very important function, and that is one of price discovery. And Jaco is a great supporter of this Gwent phrase. But it allows a platform and a system to serve all producers, whether you send one unit or whether you send 100 pallets. That system can accommodate that, and the price that's discovered there is free and fair in terms of what is happening in a free market system in South Africa today. So with that in mind, we've seen markets develop, we've seen markets, I don't want to use the word stagnate, but when that happens, there's always an opportunity to either open a new market, a private market, or just to enhance the current system. So from my perspective and from a regulatory point of view, we absolutely embrace the fact that markets will lead us into the future. It's just think about the amount of work that is created at markets. It's phenomenal. And this industry specifically needs that.
Francois, thank you. I'm learning so much in respect of your wholesale sector. Justy, do you agree with Francois that the wholesale sectors within South Africa, that the future is bright or not?
Yeah, I think one thing I didn't mention when I answered your question about the comparison between let's say the UK and South Africa, if we look at supply chains and value chains, is the fact that South Africa faces a very different demographic of its population. Yeah. We've got a massive amount of people that are very poor. The figures are staggering, right? The anomaly is that a lot of people, a lot of children, go to bed hungry in this country. Even though we've got this massive amount of food that flows through the system, it does not reach all the sectors within our country. Over and above that, after that's why the history is important, and I'll go back to the to important milestone in 1993 and 1994, as you know, the changeover from to democracy in South Africa. That led to an influx of people out of Africa that also went apart with the flow of people into cities. So over a period of 10, 15 years, you had this massive influx of, let's call it bottom of the pyramid or a low skill, low income earning people. And where do they get their product? They can't buy their product from the retail store. They need these markets and the informal channels to feed themselves. And that led to a massive growth in demand. I remember distinctly the period there just after 2000 on where you could set your watch what the turnover growth is going to be. You could literally just pick a number from 5% up because it will just come true because you had this lot of mouths chasing less product. If you add to that that growers were focused on export, they started sending product into retail, you had less product that went into markets. And so the future of markets in South Africa is very, very bright, I think, because it serves a very, very broad demographic. And remember also the markets are public facing, meaning they are the channel through which you feed the majority of the people and the majority in the SADC region. You know, the colleagues can elaborate on the trucks that travel from Mozambique. travel from Zambia, travel from Tanzania, travel from Angola to come and buy product in your Johannesburg and Pretoria. So that tells you that one of our big benefits is that we have got a stable formal market channel in South Africa that is a conduit for the flow of product, that is an alternative. Whereas if you're a grower in a UK or in America, you don't have the alternative to market through a network of markets like this. And it's a network, it's across the country.
Yeah.
You're very reliant on your retail program, and not the full 100% of your harvest is sold via the retail. So that's why you see that a lot of waste in the form of added chains. In South Africa, a grower has got the benefit to market the majority of his harvest. So he can sell his first grades through the retail, but there's also a market for the for the second and third grades that goes through the market to a different demographic. And that's an important aspect to understand when we look at the future of markets, that we've got this diverse demand pool that is feeding and pulling product through our market. So the future, I think, is bright, but it's also the markets are extremely, extremely important from a public facing point of view to ensure that the people both of South Africa and in the SADC region receive their product in a cost effective way.
Justin, thank you. And there's a lovely comment just coming from Elise Costin saying fresh produce markets in South Africa play a key role in food security. One very important point of knowledge is their ability to move food in the country. An example was the outreach activity during COVID when they could effectively move food and donate to needy communities. So Justin, Francois, Yako, you're feeding the country. Would that be correct, Yako?
Yeah, our growers are feeding the country. And utilizing the channels available to them to get product in a cost-effective way to the consumer. And the one important aspect of fresh produce markets is to use a phrase, it's like a stock exchange. Prices for product are being discovered on a daily basis, and it's based on supply and demand and the perishability of products. You know, you have to, there's a sort of saying what you don't sell today, tomorrow you throw away to that extent. But the markets have developed the ability to virtually have no loss in fresh produce. The broad spectrum of buyers coming to the fresh produce market, we basically clear our floors on a daily basis. Tomorrow the next loads are coming 365 days of the year.
Yako, I have to challenge you. There's no waste in your wholesale markets, because there is waste within UK and European markets. You're saying there's no waste in South African markets.
If I'm right, that number's way below 1%, and that's product going off.
Yeah.
But that's about the extent of it.
Fine. Could you just explain an expression that you use that I didn't understand? And if I don't understand it, other people won't. Discovery of pricing. How can you just talk us through that mechanism as to how the price structure works within the markets, please?
Yeah. And it's all to some extent, that's why APAC's there, in the sense that the product remains the property of the producer until sold. So they own the product as far down the channel as possible. They consign product to the market of their choice. And they also have a decision in terms of who they choose as their sales source or their business to sell the product on their behalf. And the markets are all cash. So the proceeds, the 18 billion that are sold on fresh produce markets here are cash. It's the price that is discovered for the day is spot. And that reference price is being used by all the other parties in terms of determining which marketing channel am I going to use. And the proceeds of the daily sales are then being collected, if I could put it in a loose term, by the market authority and paid over to the agency's trust accounts. So that money is in trust, it belongs to the producer, and the product that has been consigned to us is also in trust. And that is what is governed by our statutes. And And then the next day, the producers would be the produce would be accounted for, and the sales would be accounted for, and the producers would be paid. And by law, we are required to pay producers within 5 days of, wow. of the first sale.
Okay. Yeah, okay, thank you. Francois, that sounds such a slick system. I'm presuming, Francois, you invented that system, did you?
Max, no, I cannot take that fame. That belongs to the industry and every role player that's so passionate part of this system. It doesn't stop there, though. We need to keep on enhancing, keep on finding creative and better ways to do things. And that's the dynamics that I absolutely love. We are always working to better whatever we do. Bear in mind that there's one key role player in this value chain that we just need to acknowledge, and that's the farmer. If you take the farmer out of this equation, nobody, none of us will have a job. So hats off to the farmers. They are the amazing glue that's keeping everything together. Where we work and along the line, we just need to enhance whatever we do to protect them as best as we can.
Well said. Well said. Justy, just one question on which I was a bit surprised about that Jack has stated was cash. I don't know if you heard that in the US there's a new president. Who knew? But one of the reforms that he's bringing in is that he's changing, I think it's the 50 US dollar note or the 20 to have an anti-slavery campaigner from 200 years ago on it, which is amazing. But there's a lot of commenters stated, well, that's great, but no one uses cash anymore because it's all online. And my travels through Africa, I was actually quite surprised how in some really odd countries, not saying that the likes of Senegal is odd, but all of the workers literally living in mud huts were being paid through online systems. Justy, do you think there's going to be a change to online in South Africa, or is cash to stay within that system that Jaco and Francois have described?
Yeah, I think to put the cash issue in context, we have to understand that cash creates a situation where that is not very governable or not very transparent. That's why that's one of the problems then where you have a trading environment, an open trading environment like this, that you have full transparency about what the actual payment was and what the actual price was. And that's an element, that level of transparency that the markets had to solve early in the night. So we talked today about cashless environments, but the markets have been running cashless for a long time. So your entry point is cash into the system. So either in the olden times with the cashier that deposit money, and then it's a token-based system where you then, there's no cash on the floor. So you've got a card or a tag, buy with that, and then you go and cash out. So the other aspect around the use of cash is also still a big player as far as Africa is concerned in the movement of cash, because with cash, as I said, comes non-transparency. And the movement of cash also means that the people doesn't have to declare it. And it's a very informal environment as well, where you've got people that are not in very sophisticated environments. So cash is a player outside the market, but within the market environment, the term cash, it's still the actual cash value, but it's not the physical cash that's floating around the market.
Justin, thank you for correcting me. And Jaco, I seem to be giving you the difficult questions. What would happen if you and I, we were able to wave a magic wand and international customers were happy to pay more for your product. And so you naturally, because that's where your market is now, went that direction. But that meant that you couldn't supply the wholesale markets and you couldn't, in effect, feed the nation. Is there a likelihood that situation is going to happen within South Africa? Or have you all got all the bases covered in the respect of feeding the South African nation during these interesting times?
We've been very fortunate in the sense that I believe we can supply all the markets consistently, and that our producers are are competing worldwide and have developed the ability to produce products probably more effectively and are in a position to market through all the channels. So from a South African perspective, we're extremely fortunate in terms of having enough product for people and for the increased demand that would potentially come cross border. I truly believe that, and we've seen it.
Okay, thank you. And in these interesting times, we are not in South Africa, I hasten to add. We are picking up issues of food security and shortcuts being taken by some wrongful growers, and I state not in South Africa. Within South Africa, how can you guarantee food security, food traceability? Have you got those systems in place for those that aren't fully aware from the likes of the UK and Europe? Francois, what would your thoughts be to that, please?
My answer would be, I think we are different in that we've got a much more focused approach to ensure food safety and food security. It certainly the value that we have, many value chains, not all of them go through fresh produce markets, but the one that we're talking about here today is exactly that. Supply and demand is a very good indicator to give us an answer as to what is the situation with this. It also provides information to farmers so that they know what is needed, and they also know where they can make or achieve the best prices in this process. I would like to just put a disclaimer here. Yes, our markets are functioning well. The one thing about fresh produce markets are certainly that they provide that platform to create that flow and that very fast flow of produce. But here's the thing, and here's the disclaimer. We must do so much more. In South Africa and Africa, we've got many people who don't enjoy three meals a day. We must never forget that. Mm-hmm. That's my disclaimer. So as much as we are doing exceptionally well in the industry, we need to do so much more, and we need to make sure that we can feed a nation. And by saying that, indirectly, I'm saying that, yes, the systems are good. The fresh produce markets are functioning exceptionally well, but we need to do so much more to get food to the poorest of the poor.
Okay, well done. I think the all credit to you to survive the pandemic and be able to feed the nation as you are, but take on board what you're stating about there's more that needs to be done. And Justy, sort of a segue on that, government versus private markets, do they work in cooperation or is it very fractious, or should they split, or should there just be government markets, should there just be private markets? What's your view, and how do you think that's going to play out in the future, please?
You know, Max, in the communication you sent me, there was a point on the uniqueness of markets. And I think in fairness, if we mention the word unique in the South African context, it's got a very specific meaning. We need to understand why the markets are unique. I always use the example of a four-legged table. You've got your four legs, which is your producer, your agent, which is your buyer, and then your market operator, and people like Francois, the tabletop. They keep these legs apart, they regulate it from the top, they put pressure from the top for these people to keep their, to perform their respective duties. The uniqueness, this is not in essence unique because you find it in all sorts of markets. You can find that, you can take the tabletop model and go and look at your markets in Birmingham or wherever you go. But what makes the South African industry unique is the fact that the markets, the commission markets, is first of all focused on fresh produce, so that you don't have this mixture of different agricultural products. It's purely fresh produce. It was institutionalized over many, many years, and it's a national network. So you've got a market model that if you go to the Joburg market And if you go to Cape Town Market, if you go to Bloemfontein, it's exactly the same experience. Now think about that. If I'm a grower and I'm sitting 1,000 kilometers away, I can market to any one of these markets and I have got exactly the same experience, exactly the same rules, and I'm governed by exactly the same rules. If I'm have to market to 5 different markets in another country, I potentially have to have private negotiations with all of them, and they probably have got different methods of invoicing, etc. In the South African context, everything works the same. The invoicing that comes to you, the business rules, etc., works the same. The other important thing that makes the South African market unique is the role definitions. The role definitions of what an agent is, what a salesman can do, what a buyer can do, and what a grower role is very clearly defined within. If you read Francois' legislative framework, you can actually see they stipulate exactly what each one of these people will do. So the market is unique in that sense. The fresh produce markets in South Africa is not unique because of transparency, because of trust, etc. Because that's part of any market environment. Even price discovery. If you sell toothpicks, there's price discovery, right? But the outcome, and that's what we were very fortunate in South Africa to experience. Over a period of 100 odd years, this model was institutionalized. The rules were entrenched in the value chain, so that when you were a farmer new generations of farmers were introduced into the system, they did not have to learn much. Like if you deal with one market, it's like you deal with all the other ones. So the outcome of that, and that's the other unique aspect, is we can talk about transparency, because as we know, transparency is positively correlated to trust. We can talk about the institutional set relationship between these parties, providing the structural assurance for a grower to market his product to each one. And that's the important thing. The ownership stays with the grower, meaning that we have to, it extends his gate almost to a Johannesburg market and to a Pretoria wow. market. And that's why wow. the governance needs to be almost draconian. So if you literally the bylaws of Joburg market, the market master had the draconian ability to tell you what tie you wear. That's how draconian the laws were. But you need that to keep all these people out of each other's hair and to stop people from acting opportunistically, which is typical part of a highly competitive environment. And you can see there where the cash come in, you have to remove cash. So those elements, the institutional setup. And if I say about the pure model, it's not something that's elusive. We've experienced it in South Africa, right? And like Francois said, we face problems in South Africa. Because if you move away from that institutional framework, if you move away from the role definitions, you dilute what that market unlocks to society. And it's simple aspects like transaction costs. In this environment, because it's transparent, your search cost is very low. So if you're a grower, you get a very idea about what all the market's prices are on a daily basis, and it allows you to at a very cheap, for not a lot of money, not a lot of cost, you're able to market your product and get an idea what the average prices are. Your assurance is covered as because you as a grower sell almost as a pay-as-you-go model, sell into a market, paying only your ad valorem commission for the time that your consignment is sold on the market, et cetera. So the moment you move away from that pure model, then you start to experience dilution of these aspects. And I think that is when we talk about markets and ownership of markets, it's got nothing to do with it. It depends on what is your ideological approach. Where do you stand ideologically on it? Yeah. Are you looking towards the pure model, or are you diluting that model? Because there's enough cases around for me to take each one of these aspects and show you what the impact is if you dilute it. If the farmer becomes the market, if the market manager, if the agent becomes the market, if the buyer and the agent colludes together, you can see that tabletop, that legs need to be apart, and they are apart for a very specific reason. And I think the unique question, I think the most important question you asked is the uniqueness of markets. I don't think that has been interrogated enough. And I think that's why we see that the response to the challenges that we face in the country does not speak to the real core of the future of these markets. And if we don't speak to the core of the future of the markets, the fragmentation is on the cards of it.
Justy, fantastic. Everyone, we're slightly running out of time and we could go on for another hour on this. But what I, on the basis of the question that Jekka and I were batting around earlier about where does the RSA group see itself in the future, I'm so overwhelmed as to the sophistication of the South African wholesale markets and the good that you're doing in the short term. But on the basis that everything can be made better, what do you think can be made better within the wholesale sector in South Africa to create even further success? Jekka, you first, please.
Max, thank you. I do lead from what Justy was saying. I think in terms of infrastructure and where municipal markets find themselves being part of local government, and potentially the lack of investment in infrastructure is probably going to be agenda point for us to drive in terms of reinvesting in the markets and aligning them to modern food safety requirements. And okay. And our producers are all required to apply food safety standards. Yet markets can potentially lag in that space. But a lot has been done in the past few years to be able to ramp that up. But the responsibility of local government to invest in markets and upscale them will determine in terms of how strongly our growth is going to be in the next few years.
Thank you. Francois, how can we make the wholesale markets in South Africa even better?
For me, it's all about education. We need to educate people about the uniqueness of markets, the uniqueness of the systems, the commission systems that we use, the availability of expertise at these platforms. It's a sales platform. It's there for farmers. It's there for everybody to use. Apart from education, for me, we must just continue to seek opportunities. During COVID-19, we saw an incredible interest in platforms such as online selling. Those things must all be enhanced, but it can never, ever replace the fresh produce markets that we have. So for me, it's just enhancement and look after what we have and protect this at all cost.
Wow. Wow. Powerful words. Thank you. Justy, how can we make the wholesale markets even better?
You know what? The markets is a community. I think Francois used the word community, right? And I wish I could take you back to the mid-90s. To when you sit around tables and discussing market matters. People were fiercely competitive. People didn't like each other, but there was like a tacit understanding that we're busy with something bigger. We're busy with something more important than just our own interests, right? Just our petty own interest and greed. And I think if you, and it took unique leaders to lead people in that environment, people that could reach across the fences, people that could bring people together, people get good focus, and we solved quite a lot of problems in this country, but we've lost that, right? And I think the one thing that I would put on the table is leadership. Leadership on all sectors. Wow. I think there's a leadership vacuum in this country, and it's on each one of those stakeholders of the table needs to take responsibility on their own. And I think the only way you're gonna solve the fresh produce markets and you're gonna introduce new invention, real innovation. I'm not talking about cleaning your floor as innovation or fixing a cold room as innovation, right? Or a differentiation. I'm talking about real innovation that the markets face. You can only do that if you do that together, right? And I think we need each one of those pillars need to take it onto themselves to come together, join forces, and let's have the same magic that there was that generated a organization like APAC that came out of the industry, that made the industry strong. I think leadership is the number one thing. The rest is simple to solve, believe me.
Fantastic. Everyone, we're nearly run out of time. I have learned so much. I've got lots of WhatsApp messages with so many other questions. I might have to forward them on to you. But Leanne, well done on getting such a powerhouse of South African industry experts on. But Leanne, if it's okay, I'm just going to ask a question just to wrap up. We've got the PMA here. Jekka, why should growers, farmers, groups, organizations within South Africa be aligned to the PMA, please?
It's the best platform to connect businesses globally. And we've seen that connection work for our business over the years. And you don't have to reinvent the wheel. There's thought leadership that's prevalent in the organization. And we're going to be part of it for as long as we can.
Fantastic. Justy, if it's okay, same question to yourself. Why should we all be aligned to the PMA, please?
Look, I think you're part of a community and you can't be a responsible member. You can't complain if you don't participate, right? If you don't invest. And specifically in this fresh produce community that touches so many lives, it's important for everybody to not be a free rider, but to come to these forums. It's not just talk shops. It does have an impact. It does create a power base, and it does create a new influence, even if it's between growers or with our interactions with the public sector. But it's important to be part of it. And it is your responsibility, specifically in South Africa, to become part of these organizations. It's very important.
Thank you. Francois?
Same question.
To you.
For me, we love the interaction. And I think with role players, and this is what we're missing during COVID-19.
Yeah.
But apart from that, I think PMA has been creative enough to continue with dynamic ways to enhance this anyway. This is one such platform. For us, it's about technology. It's about sharing knowledge. It's about learning. I've been around this industry for many years, and I can tell you I learn every day. And I learn from the PMA so much. Thank you very much.
Fantastic. I've got so many comments coming in because as well as all of you dialed in on Zoom, we're streaming live to Facebook and to LinkedIn. And we've got so many European colleagues who didn't know how the South African wholesale sectors work. So Leanne, I think this has been such a successful broadcast because as well as having the community within South Africa, to be able to show how South African fresh produce works on broadcast one, really excited about the other broadcasts. Leanne, over to you to wrap up this broadcast with Beanstalk and the PMA, please.
Okay, super. I just really want to give a huge shout out to our members and Francois from APAC who joined us today. We have an incredible membership base with so much knowledge and so many leaders and voices within the industry. And I just want to thank our members for coming to this platform and talking about our industry and letting our global trade and our partners understand who we are and what we do to bring our amazing produce to the world. So I want to say thank you to our members and of course to Beanstalk and yourself, Max. And looking forward to our partnership.
No problem. So to wrap up, everyone buy amazing South African fresh produce. And if we buy enough amazing South African fresh produce, Jaco has said that we can all go to his tonight for a bribe because he's got the best weather in Stellenbosch, the best steak and the best fresh produce and the best wine. Jaco, is that okay?
Yes, that's perfectly. I'll be waiting.
Okay, you've got about 1,500 people in tonight. So we look forward to seeing you a little bit later. Yeah,
just take care. And we've got curfew, 9 o'clock. That's the latest we can
do. No problem. If everyone, just to wrap up, I think you all need to be congratulated. You're all surviving a pandemic in this amazing world of fresh produce. And not only feeding South Africa, but feeding us all internationally. So thank you very much for your time. Thank you very much to Leanne, your great team at the PMA. Jaco, Francois, Justin, you've been brilliant. And we'll see you at the next broadcast. Everyone, keep safe.
Thanks, bye.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Bye. Thank you, everyone. Bye-bye.